Blog Talk Radio.
Rhyme ruler, the mind of the master, the prime poet designed for disaster, a crime candidate, the light heavyweight, I might levitate right through the heaven's gate, rhyme wrecker, break neck spines and vertebrae, simple and plain like Kanye, I heard him say, it's murder one when he murder tracks, I'm a dirt bag, flirting with songbirds and Birkin bags, my first rap, catch Roberta Flack, I'm a certified Mac, but I'm sure you ain't heard of that. Slim Thug and them hoes, they been loving the flow. They been hunting for men like in Vogue. And I'm in season, a season vet. I don't need respect. All I need is a check. Mike, check.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much, wherever you are, however you may be tuning in to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am so thankful, so gracious, and filled with gratitude that you are joining us. My name is Joe Mullinax. I am your host for the evening. Brandon Connor, once again, out. We miss Brandon. We wish Brandon well. We hope he returns soon. Brandon taking a brief leave from GBB, attending to some things. Hopefully he'll be back ready and welling and able to get back on in the swing of things here soon. Brandon, we're thinking of you. We're looking forward to having you back. I'm solo once again this week, and thankfully for you, especially our loyal listeners, I have a great guest to kind of break my melodious but monotonous at times voice, and I'm excited to talk to you about all of that. But first, I got to give a shout out to how to get in touch with the show. We want this to be interactive. We want you to reach out to us, talk to us about various ways and things that you're thinking. A ton of stuff going on with the Memphis Grizzlies. Mario Chalmers is a Grizzly again. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? According to our question of the day poll on Twitter, it seems like a lot of people are pretty excited about that development. I don't know how excited I am. I'll talk to our guest about that and all those things. Chime in on Twitter, whether you're listening to the Archive Podcast or you're listening to us recording live on Blog Talk Radio on a Wednesday night at GBB Live. That's the best way to do it. I man that account, of course. You can check out Grizzly Bear Blues Live on Twitter at GBB Live. Interact. We want to make this show as interactive as possible. Also, follow me on Twitter if you don't already do so, at Joe Mullinax. That's M-U-L-L-I-N-A-X. You can follow my co-host, Brandon Connor, at Ball From Grace. And you can follow our site, SB Nation NBA's Memphis Grizzlies team site, grizzlybearblues.com, at SBN Grizzlies. Lots to get to this week. Lots of different kinds of things. Summer League ends. Wayne Selden's second team all Summer League. Mario Chalmers, the roster's up to 18, 19, 20, 50, it feels like, all the players that the Grizzlies have. Mario Chalmers returns. How's that going to impact Andrew Harrison, Wayne Selden? Let's get right into it. Let's chat with our guest this week. Very excited to have him back on the program. A friend of the show, a friend of mine. He does tremendous work over at 92.9 FM ESPN in Memphis. He is the executive producer of the Jeff Calkins Show over on 92.9 ESPN in Memphis. He's a host and columnist for 92.9 as well. He is, again, friend of the program, been on multiple times now. Excited to bring him back. His name is Jeffrey Wright. Mr. Wright, how are you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing well. About yourself?
I got to tell you, I'm doing a lot better now that I'm talking to you. It's been a crazy day, crazy things the past 48 hours with the Memphis Grizzlies, and it feels like every time I sit down to record one of these podcasts, they've done something else that I wasn't expecting them to do, whether it's being willing to let Zach Randolph and Tony Allen walk. I thought it was the right decision, but I didn't think they'd be willing to do it. I didn't think that they would be willing to buy into the Mario Chalmers hype again, and it seems that they've been willing to do it. And I don't want to say that as a detriment to Mario Chalmers. He was great in his one season with the Grizzlies, or less than a season with the Grizzlies. But he's coming off of the Achilles injury that he unfortunately suffered last March as a member of the Memphis Grizzlies during that hellacious season when they had to, you know, make the playoffs with 20-some guys on the roster at some point due to injuries. They had to let him go. They lose his bird rights. But after a year, he's back in Memphis, apparently. According to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, he's saying he's competing for the third point guard spot. But according to our question of the day, Jeffrey, as you know, a loyal fan of Grizzly Bear Blues Live, we do a poll every week, a question of the day poll, asking the fans, the Grizzly Grizz Nation members, various thoughts about what's going on with the Grizzlies. Today's question, of course, was about Mario Chalmers. What do you expect from Mario Chalmers this coming season? Believe it or not, after about 210 votes were cast, thanks to everybody who chimed in on our poll, the three options were A, won't make final roster, B, end of bench player, C, solid rotation player. I'm not overly surprised that solid rotation player won, Jeffrey. I'm surprised by the margin. 68% of those who participated in the poll expect Mario Chalmers to be a solid rotation player for the Memphis Grizzlies this coming season. And I'm just going to throw this out here, Jeffrey. I'm not on that bandwagon. I don't think that's going to happen. I would love for it to happen, but I am very skeptical. How do you feel about Chalmers returning to Memphis?
Yeah, I think overall, I think I agree with you. To me, it seems like there's only really two outcomes, and you feel free to disagree if you do. To me, it seems like the outcome is either he's solid or bad point guard, or, in my opinion, he doesn't make the roster. Because I think if he's healthy enough to go, I think the Grizzlies saw last year that when you just don't have experience at the backup point guard position, it can cost you games. And so I think if he's healthy enough to go, I think they're going to keep him, and I think they're just going to rely on savvy, veteran, you know, basketball IQ, all the buzzwords that you want to come up with. So to me, it seems like it's either of those two outcomes. And then when you just look in deeply into guys that have had Achilles injuries, man, I hope overcomes the odds, but I just don't think realistically you can expect him to make the roster. And I think that's also why you saw the important aspect of Aaron Wojnarowski's tweet, partially guaranteed contract.
Partially guaranteed contract for 1 year. And here's where I have an issue, Jeffrey. And I tweeted about this and, you know, people liked it and all that stuff. Not too many, but I'm building my Twitter following 64,000 tweets in. All right. So I tweet this out, and this has been a point of frustration for me with Grizzlies fans for years. They're never happy. And I think you can make an argument that lots of fan bases are like that. And lots of fans always find something that they're not overly excited about. 2 years ago, we're talking about how the Grizzlies never play young players, right? Oh, my God, I can't believe
sure.
Dave Yeager. He never plays rookies. He never plays anybody who's young. It's awful. David Fizdale comes to town. Andrew Harrison, a rookie in the NBA, plays over 1,400 minutes, improves over those 1,400 minutes, has a good frame, the ability to play off ball with Mike Conley and allow for Conley to play off the ball, especially on offense, allows for him to be more of a scorer, allows for Andrew Harrison to take on the bigger wings when they're in that matchup. You have potential there, and then all of a sudden, after a rookie has a below average to mediocre campaign, I think is a fair assessment. He wasn't awful, but he certainly wasn't great. Now you want to bring back a dude who's coming off of an Achilles injury who is over 30 years old. But 2 years ago, you were complaining about not playing younger players. You can't have it both ways. You either invest in the youth and you allow for a player like Andrew Harrison to come along, or you're okay with them bringing in guys in their early to mid-30s and trying to make a run in the Western Conference in terms of making the playoffs again. And you can still do that with Andrew Harrison as the backup point guard because they did it this past year. And that's my frustration is you say you want young players to play, but then after they play and you see the mistakes that a young player will make, you don't give them a chance to show how far they've come in a second season. The 60-some percent of our voters instantly say, we want him in the rotation, which to me, you look at this Grizzlies roster, if Mario Chalmers is in the rotation, Andrew Harrison isn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think when you look at it, like, so obviously we know the Grizzlies are, at some point, someone's going to have to get cut, someone's going to have to either be packaged in a trade, but clearly when you look at, right now the Grizzlies have five point guards, and realistically, we know obviously Mike's going to be the number one. I think you'll see Tyreek get a lot of the second reps, and then it's going to come down to either Wade Baldwin, Mario Chalmers, or obviously Andrew Harrison. And so you would think likely one of the young guys is going to end up being released just because of sheer numbers sake if you keep Mario Chalmers. But as it relates to your frustration, I mean, of all the frustrations I have, that one's probably lower on the list. The one that's always driven me insane has been Memphis's ability to somehow fall in love with a well below average point guard just because it's something different and something new. And, you know, Tony Douglas is a prime example. And so, you know, when you have to do the whole Tony Douglas, you know, dog and pony show, whereas anyone that was sitting there with eyeballs watching the game in person knew that's like, he just got beat off the dribble so badly that he couldn't play. And you know, that speaks to that frustration. The young point guard question is very, very interesting to me because it is the one position that consistently takes the longest to develop in the NBA. And so you don't want to give up on a guy too soon. But at the same time, if I tell you right now that Andrew Harrison's on the open market, how many teams do you realistically think would pick him up?
Open market as in trade or open market as in the Grizzlies waived him and he's a free agent?
Yeah, he's released tomorrow. You know, let's say this. He's released tomorrow and the 29 other teams can pick him up. I mean, realistically, I mean, how many teams are picking him up?
I would say maybe 10. I think 10, a third of the NBA would be interested in a player that has his size, that has his frame, especially if you're a team like the Brooklyn Nets, Phoenix Suns, somebody who's maybe not Phoenix because they have Ulis, your Ulis, but you know, somebody who is developing those younger players anyway, who maybe is like Memphis in that they're trying to take shots in the dark, especially Brooklyn, trying to take shots in the dark when you don't have as many draft picks, those kinds of resources. Maybe they're looking at, hey, here's a young guy. He's got a good frame, good size. He had some success. He struggled at times as a young point guard, but maybe there's something there. I could see him fit on maybe 10 to 12 NBA rosters. But to me, that's still enough. And again, the Grizzlies are not in the situation. If you watch Summer League, and we'll talk more about Summer League here in a minute. If you watch Summer League and you saw the way that Wade Baldwin played, to me, I would be, and again, we're talking about young point guards. Wade is younger, I believe, than Andrew. If we're talking who we're less sure of, I at least know that Andrew Harrison can play off the ball. He can allow Mike Conley to do those things. I've seen Andrew Harrison do things soundly at the NBA level consistently on a maybe consistent is strong, but I've seen him do it a heck of a lot more than Wade Baldwin. So,
yeah,
but Wade Baldwin's also young. So to me, it's a trade-off. Do you want the youth that people were clamoring for, or do you want to bring in players like Wade Baldwin, Mario Chalmers, who if he's healthy – could potentially be a good fit there, but it's not like you look at Mario Chalmers' numbers when he was a Grizzly, and it was better than any other backup point guard Memphis had had, aside from maybe Baino or Nick Calathes, that debate years before. But to me, his numbers weren't so earth-shattering. I guess I just don't see being excited about a guy who shot 41% from the field during his time as a Grizzly coming back 16 months after an Achilles rupture. That's what I'm struggling with, especially when you have a young player who could make a good leap in his second season.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of thoughts. Number one, I think I'm taking it from the realistic approach of I'm putting my, you know, executive hat on, which thankfully no one has asked me to do. But I'm looking
at it
from the
perspective.
I'm looking at it from the perspective that Wade Baldwin was a first-round pick. I understand he wasn't a lottery pick, but he was a first-round pick. And it's just in any – I mean, you coach football. You know as well as any that a first-round pick's just always going to get more chances than a second-round or another guy just because of the investment that was made. So I'm looking at it from the perspective that if it comes down to Wade Baldwin or Andrew Harrison, I would predict that the organization is going to stick with the first-rounder rather than the second-rounder unless the second-rounder clearly separates himself. The other issue is I do agree with you about Andrew Harrison from the size, speed, and look perspective. I do have concerns if he's not like the Christian Hackenberg of basketball, where the guy looks awesome. I mean, he just looks awesome in a uniform. Like, he's first guy off the bus, big, strong, sturdy guard, has the frame, has everything. But, man, when the game goes on, it's just he looks lost at times. And I do agree with you that, you know, if you have him on the floor, it allows you to play Mike off the ball because you don't have to give the trade-off on the defensive end. I agree with you on that, but it's like overall still, Andrew Harrison, in my opinion, especially the last 2-3 months, he cost him games. And so I'm not trying to bury the guy, but I'm just trying to look at it realistically. If Mario Chalmers is healthy enough, Mario Chalmers at this stage is definitely a better option than Andrew Harrison, just from an experience perspective. But to your larger point about, you know, the idea of what's everyone seeing in Mario Chalmers, Man, it's the same thing with Z-Bo, man. It hits at the same idea. If you come to Memphis, and even though Mari Chalmers hit the big shot and he broke so many Memphis Tiger fans' hearts, this whole city is not a Tiger basketball town anymore. It's just not.
Right. I mean,
there's a big SEC presence. You know, there are transplants from a lot of places that don't really care about Tiger basketball. And so if you come in, like, it always struck me as so ironic when the fact when Mario ruptured his Achilles, it was like that was the point in which not only had Memphis embraced him, he had really embraced Memphis. Like, you could tell, like, he was loving where he was. He found a team that, again, that he fit, and he felt like he was a part of, and he was really loving it, and he was loving basketball. And Memphis fans just gravitate to that. And so I do think there is that nostalgia factor of, hey, maybe let's hope that wasn't the end of the story, the ruptured Achilles. So I think there is some hope on that, but I am with you. I mean, a guy coming off an Achilles at 30-something, I don't have high hopes for.
The one piece that I will agree with, that if Chalmers is good to go, he should play in front of Andrew Harrison, is the fact that when Chalmers and Conley were healthy, when they were able to play on the floor together, they had one of the highest two-man lineup net ratings of anybody on the Grizzlies. I believe it was even higher than Mark and Mike's. They play extremely well together, or at least they did. And Chalmers is a good enough defender when healthy that he is able to still allow for Conley to play off the ball, and they aren't sacrificing defense. And the best scorer on the Memphis Grizzlies now is Mike Conley, period. So for me, if I'm David Fizdale, if I'm that coaching staff, I am trying to develop game plans and rotations. I'm looking at these pieces of this roster. How do I get Mike Conley in positions to score the basketball? That is what my coaching philosophy would be. And if Mario Chalmers is healthy enough that he is able to still fill that role better than Andrew Harrison could, because as of today, right now, Chalmers, if he's healthy, is a better basketball player than Andrew Harrison. So if you're still trying to stay relevant as you do this rebuild, as you mentioned, they invested a first-round pick in Wade Baldwin, so it's certainly possible that they see Harrison as more expendable. That to me is the key. If he's healthy enough to play alongside Conley, because Conley is the guy who's really the straw that stirs the drink for the Grizzlies now. We're talking with Jeffrey Wright of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Very excited to have him back on the program here, GBB Live, your podcast, or one of your podcasts on the GBB Podcast Network. Make sure you're following Jeffrey on Twitter if you don't already, at jwright929ESPN. We're talking about this roster, and before we get to the new pieces and how it's all going to kind of shake out, who's the most likely to be gone as we prognosticate far too early in July, let's talk about what we saw solidly in front of our eyes with the Summer League. Summer League concluded. The Grizzlies made the Summer League Final Four. They were ousted, by the Portland Trailblazers in the semifinals. And Memphis leaves with some things that are pretty solid. And I think that, and I've said this on, you know, Jeff's show when I talked with you, I said it on Gary Parrish's show. I've had opportunities to be on the radio, which I'm very thankful for. And I've said it on every appearance, you know, we can throw Wayne Selden out because Wayne Selden's an NBA basketball player. He's going to be on the Grizzlies roster. He did what he was supposed to do in Summer League. And I feel like we can throw out a guy like an Ivan Rabb, because obviously he didn't play. There's rumors that the ankle is a lot worse than it was originally thought. He may not even make the roster. I'll believe that when I see it. But at the same time, we don't know what Ivan Rabb is because he didn't play because of his ankle. So Selden's not an option. Obviously, Rabb's not. Jeffrey, give me one name who really impressed you outside of Selden, and give me one player who really disappointed you outside of not being able to watch Rabb play.
I was really impressed with Dylan Brooks. Obviously, I watch a lot of college basketball. I'm a single guy. I don't have much of a life, and I'm a degenerate investor in sports. So nothing's quite like that Pac-12 game, that Glory's Last Shot game that you can get around, you know, 9:30, 10 o'clock Central Time. And so you wind up watching a lot of Oregon. In Oregon, there's a lot of spacing. Dana Altman, I think, is a criminally underrated basketball coach. I mean, you watch what they do on the offensive end. It definitely resembles the NBA game at the college level. And so I knew he was a fantastic college player. I did have the inevitable Chris Wallace question with Dylan Brooks when he was coming out. It's okay, well, who does he guard? Because he seemed like kind of a tweener. It's like, Well, he's probably too big to be a two. Is he athletic enough to guard? You know, I mean, most great athletes in the NBA play the three. It's like, is he athletic enough to guard those guys? I'm not quite certain. Probably not big enough to guard fours. But the thing that I really liked that I saw in Summer League was, man, he held his own on the defensive end, and then we saw his ability to put the ball in the hoop. And I do think there's usually two things that kind of translate to the NBA level, and it's scoring and rebounding. So I knew he'd be okay on the scoring front, but I just didn't know how he'd be on the other end of the floor, and I left very, very impressed with him. And then on the disappointment side, I think you have to go Deontay Davis. I mean, he just kind of disappears at times. He's certainly a guy that gives you something on the defensive end. I didn't quite see the aggression I'd like to see on the offensive end. I thought his mid-range game at times looked pretty good, but I do think shooting's kind of random. And so was it just a good couple of games, or was it, you know, something that's really his skill set? But I was hoping to see more out of Deontay Davis than I did, and I left thinking this guy's not ready to contribute yet.
He's not ready to contribute yet. When do you think he will be ready to contribute? I've been asked this a couple of times. I'm curious because they don't need Deontay Davis right now. When do you think he will be ready, if he's ever ready?
Well, I guess we're both operating under the assumption that they take care of it with Jamichael Green, which I think most likely they will. But and that's becoming a real big question right now because – I mean, you hate to write off a 20-year-old, but at a certain point, it's like part of his deficiencies aren't so much talent as it is just kind of – it's kind of the opposite of Dylan Brooks. Like, Dylan Brooks is just a gamer. Deontay Davis is another guy that kind of looks the part, and you see kind of why, hey, he was the first pick in the second round. It's like he has all the tools to be an NBA guy. He has the look, the skill, the size, the athleticism, but – man, at the end of the day, it's just like the finished product's just not there. And so I think now you kind of have to really start to wonder, is it ever going to be there? And you hate to write off a 20-year-old, but I do think that's a conversation that probably internally the Grizzlies are having.
He doesn't seem to grasp what the Grizzlies want him to do, especially offensively. Coach Cipria came out and said, we want him to be a rim runner. That is what we want him to do. We want him to set good screens. We want him to attack the basket, and we want to try to get him the ball at and around the rim in the paint. And he still was being barked at. You could hear on the Summer League broadcast being told where to stand and where to go, whether it's conditioning, injury. You know, I've heard excuses floated. That doesn't excuse his mental aspect. To me, it was just a bunch of slips and swings and misses on offensive scheme. And in Summer League, it's not overly complex. It's only going to get more complicated from there. So that made me nervous about Deontay. I'm with you on him. Thankfully, they don't need him this year as long as they keep Brandon Wright. I am curious, you know, Dylan Brooks is a player who I liked as well. And I've mentioned before, I like how confident he is. I like how he has faith in his game. And it wasn't rewarded at first. He looked a little bit outmatched early in Summer League. But as Summer League went on, you saw him adapt to the speed of the game. You saw him better understand where he was supposed to be in scheme. You saw him use that confidence and apply it towards Grizzlies-esque things. And to me, that was – when I'm watching Summer League basketball, I don't care about the shooting. You know, the shooting is cool, and obviously you want them to make baskets. But the defense is going to be so stingy at the next level that if you're a Kyle Kuzma – and you light up Summer League shooting from three, he's not going to be able to do that in the NBA and at, you know, at the highest level once they get playing. And if you're struggling in Summer League, it's not necessarily because the defense was so good. It's just that you were struggling with your shot, whatever it may be. The shooting numbers don't throw me off as much. Even turnovers, you know, I hate watching turnovers, especially from backup point guards, Wade Baldwin. But it doesn't bother me, I guess, as much as stuff like Deontay Davis we were talking about, not being able to get set, not being fully engaged in scheme, not attacking when you do know what you're doing. Dylan Brooks, as he got more comfortable in playing with his teammates and playing with the Grizzly schemes, you could see that confidence really start to be rewarded. And I really like what he brings to the table. He's not on a two-way contract, or he won't be on a two-way contract, at least according to Chris Wallace. He'll probably still play with the Memphis Hustle, because if you're an inactive player, you go down there and you practice and play with them. But I'm interested to watch him play and see what he can do. I really like Dylan Brooks as well. What was your take on Rade Zagorak? He didn't do a ton. He had some flashes, and that's how I've kind of described it, flashes of optimism. He's a guy who is officially signed by the Grizzlies now. They announced that yesterday, I believe. Fully on board, not a two-way deal, so he is in Memphis. He'll be on the roster this coming year. He's not a guy who looks NBA ready. Again, he's not entirely there. He definitely struggled with the speed of the game. But I liked what I saw in terms of his understanding of passing angles, understanding of where he needed to be in terms of his shot. And he's a guy who I think with time can really develop into a rotation guy potentially. What's your take on Rade?
Yeah, I saw a guy that's clearly very skilled and clearly, fundamentally sound, not to use all the white guy adjectives, but I guess it doesn't count if they're European. But I definitely saw that. I still just saw, man, it looked like he was playing like on half speed and everyone else was playing on like speed and a half. Like it just – that really concerned me because – you can kind of get by on intuition to an extent, but man, he was giving up. I mean, he was getting, there were plays that I would watch where he would be giving up, 8 feet, 9 feet to the guy that he was defending, and that guy could still beat him to the rim. And that really, really concerned me. And you hear maybe perhaps, hey, this is his first time learning, how the NBA plays man, and that he was maybe thinking a lot. But, man, there were just some isolation moments that I saw on the defensive end that really caused me concern that, I don't want to say that, never say never, but I certainly wasn't left thinking that's a guy that, 5 years from now is going to be a key piece to the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think he showed, different from Deontay, I think he showed the capacity to kind of embrace his flaw and be able to kind of compensate as time went on, but he didn't do it consistently. He's nowhere near ready either. I would be much more comfortable with Troy Daniels or James Ennis, especially with Troy Daniels defensively, that's saying something, than I would Rade at this point. We're chatting with Jeffrey Wright of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. He's the executive producer of the Jeff Calkins Show. If you're following him on Twitter, if you don't already do so, at jwright, W-R-I-G-H-T, 929 ESPN. A player who narrowly survived the Deontay Davis disappointment treatment for me was Jarrell Martin. And the main reason I was disappointed in Jarrell was it was his third year, his third summer league. This is a player who, or at least third eligible summer league. I think there might have been a summer league he didn't play because of injury. But this is a guy who at this stage should have been like Wayne Selden, at least to me. He should have been dominating NBA, or these guys who are not quite NBA players yet, or brand new, newly minted drafted players. This is a guy, there's competition here. There's playing time. Zach Randolph is gone. Jermichael Green is widely expected to be back, but it's possible Jermichael Green is gone. There could almost be a starting job on the line. At the very least, there's minutes as a fourth big off the bench, and I just didn't see, except for that Wizards game, not consistently the level of play that I wanted to see from Jarrell Martin. It really made me nervous about him heading into a crucial year three for him with the Grizzlies. What were your takes on Jarrell?
Yeah, I think I chose probably not to focus on him as much inherently because when you start looking at the numbers, it just seemed to me that like Jarrell was going to be odd man out. And I definitely agree with you. And I started to wonder maybe perhaps that was creeping into him because that was certainly a talking point from people in Vegas. And I have to think if we were hearing it, that he was most certainly hearing it too. And so I started to wonder if perhaps that was kind of seeping into his game because, if you know that unless you just come out and you just light the world on fire, which, certainly was, I think we would have liked to have seen it, but I don't know how likely it was to occur. I think that kind of seeped into his game a bit. And now it just feels like he's going to be a guy that, John Hollinger always talks about the second draft and guys that they look for that were on teams that didn't fit, but perhaps in their system could work. It just seems like to me, Jarrell Martin's going to be somebody else's second draft pick.
Yeah, I think we got Ben McLemore in that quote-unquote second draft. Jarrell Martin might be somebody else's second draft. I'm with you on that. I think he's about to be one of our casualties in the exercise we're about to do as we wrap up Grizzly Bear Blues Live with our guest, Jeffrey Wright of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. Again, excited to have him back on the program. Great guest. Very kind to us at GVB, as the rest of the 92.9 folks are. Make sure you're giving him a follow if you don't already do so at jwright929 ESPN. Jeffrey, the Grizzlies currently have a lot of guys on their roster. They're allowed to take 20 into training camp, but they have to eventually get it down to 15 main roster guys plus two-way contracts. Now, the way that works is they spend a majority of their time with the G League, but they are able to come up and play some with the Grizzlies, a certain percentage. I want to say it's like 35-40%, something like that. But they spend most of their time in the case of the Grizzlies, it'll be with the Hustle 30 minutes south. So you look at this roster, and we mentioned a lot of names just now that could potentially be roster casualties. Mario Chalmers with his health, Jarrell Martin with his play, Andrew Harrison, guys like that. So knowing that the Grizzlies have 15 main roster spots, knowing that they are committed, obviously, to Conley, Gasol, Parsons, Ben McLemore, Tyreek Evans, Jamichael Green, if and when he comes back, there's pieces there that they are going to keep. They obviously just signed Roddy Zagorak. They're planning on signing Dylan Brooks. You'd imagine Ivan Rabb's still cloudy, but I'd imagine, you know, until something's concrete on him, I would expect him to be around since they traded into the second round to get him. There's a lot of moving pieces here, obviously. Who do you think are the most likely candidates to either get waived or get traded off of this Grizzlies roster between now and training camp ending? And this is a lot of prognostication. There's a lot of puzzle pieces that still need to kind of be settled before this thing is done.
Yeah, if you look at the current roster, okay, let's go through guys that we are not expecting. I mean, obviously, I think it's pretty clear at this point, Tony Allen's not going to be back, so I think we can remove him. All right, then we can start with, it seems to me, Jarrell Martin is likely to be let go. So now we're down to, let's see, I think they have 18 today, so that would get them down to 16. And then I think it's going to be one of the three between Andrew Harrison, Wade Baldwin, or Mario Chalmers. And I think the Grizzlies are trying to do Mario Chalmers a solid, and I think that they're hopeful. But I just think that when you look at the history of guys that have had Achilles injuries, the likelihood of him coming back and being able to athletically handle being the backup point guard, I think that seems to be the most likely candidate for me.
I think you're exactly right. I agree almost completely with that. Jarrell Martin, I think he's gone. I think that you could see rumors of Brandon Wright and James Ennis or Troy Daniels packaging occurring. Mason Ginsburg, who writes for a New Orleans Pelicans blog, did a great post, asked my opinion and 2 cents on it. The Pelicans have a trade exception that is roughly the size of Troy Daniels' salary. So would the Grizzlies be willing to part with Daniels for a second-round pick from the Pelicans? I said yes. I think they would be willing to do that. Daniels is a one-trick pony. He's a great shooter, but he can't really do much outside of that. He's limited in what he can do in terms of being a rotation player. He's almost like a specialty pitcher in Major League Baseball who can only throw to a certain kind of left-handed batter. You know, it's kind of like that with him. He can only play against certain smaller lineups in the NBA. To me, it's worth getting low to mid second-round pick in exchange for his services if somebody's interested. So I could see Troy Daniels being moved. I could see a Brandon Wright or a James Ennis. I think that's all possible. In terms of just being let go or traded for a ham sandwich, essentially, Jarrell Martin makes sense. And I agree with you. I think that Mario Chalmers is another example of a guy like Ben McLemore, who they signed for his potential, not technically a huge long-term investment, 2 years of almost $11 million, but they're hoping that he becomes something. Tyreek Evans on a show-me deal, 1 year, $3 million. Show us what you got. Come be that Swiss Army knife for us for a year. Try to get a better contract a year after. Mario Chalmers is a continuation of that philosophy. It's a low-risk, high-reward situation. If it doesn't work out and you have to waive him, so be it. You go ahead and pass him along. You waive him. You give him the partial guaranteed money, and it doesn't hurt you in the long run because he's within your luxury tax budget anyway, the assumed luxury tax budget. If he works, it's a home run. You've got Mario Chalmers, who, again, when healthy and capable, is better than Andrew Harrison. You just upgraded your backup point guard capabilities, and you have a piece that can play multiple guard spots on the floor. I'm skeptical that that's going to happen. I hope it does because I like Mario a lot. And, you know, I just see more potential with Andrew Harrison at this stage. But that doesn't mean that Mario can't come in and light the world on fire. It's just he's kind of fighting against the history of it all.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I certainly think that if I agree, if he can trade Troy Daniels and get basically anything, I think that makes sense. The Pelicans seem to be a fit. If you can make that deal happen, I don't think that drastically impacts the outlook of your team next year. He's exciting to watch. I mean, I agree with you. He's, you know, anytime you have a guy that's instant offense off the bench, it's especially for the Grizzlies when we're not used to seeing, you know, instant three pointers. That's always it's fun to watch. But I do think that his limitations certainly. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs. You know, there was every opportunity for another two guard to step up, and the Grizzlies have to turn to Wayne Selden. So I feel like that was a pretty good indicator of where they are. I mean, I guess if you. You and I think kind of see eye to eye when it comes to if you have a tradable asset and you can move it and it's something you can get a good return for it, I think you do that. So Brandon Wright, how attractive is he? He's got a team-friendly deal. It's only 1 year on it. If you can move him, perhaps you'd have to tell me what you're getting back for it, because at a certain point it's like you have so many of these question marks and so many of these unknowns. Like, give me at least one veteran big man that – at least athletically, I know he belongs on the floor. But I mean, to me, that's the overall outlook of this team in general. It's like you have Mike and Mark, as we've discussed at the top of the show. We know what they are, and those are, you know, all-star caliber players that are professionals and certainly understand the job of, you know, being a professional basketball player and what that entails. And, you know, almost every single night those guys show up and deliver. But after that, man, it's just a bunch of, like, question marks. Is Chandler Parsons healthy? I don't know. Is, you know, Tyreke Evans going to be healthy? We don't know. Is Jamichael Green going to be back? We think, but we don't know. Is Andrew Harrison or Wade Baldwin going to take the proverbial next step? We don't know. Where does James Ennis fit into this equation? We don't know. Like, that's just kind of – you have basically two definites and then a bunch of maybe. And so I do kind of understand what the Grizzlies are doing. Basically what they say is, well, we have two known commodities. Let's go and get 12 question marks and hope that six of them hit. And, you know, I guess time will tell. You have to think, I mean, if Tyreke Evans – remains healthy for, you know, 60 games. History suggests if he plays 60 to 65 games, that guy's going to get you 15 a night. If he's giving him 15 a night and he's able to play the 1, 2, and the 3, heck yeah, that was worth it. I mean, that's going to be a big-time signing. But it all still kind of, to me, it's like we can kind of beat around the bush. We can start looking at all these other possible scenarios. It still comes down to the same question that we had at the start of last year. Is Chandler Parsons going to be the third best player on the Grizzlies? If he is, they're going to be pretty good. If he's not, I think you're going to see him scratching and clawing for, you know, a 7 or 8 seed.
That's exactly right. And it all comes back to Chandler Parsons. If Chandler Parsons – oh, the dog agreed with you. The dog was on board with your hot take there. If Chandler Parsons is healthy, the Grizzlies are a 5 or 6 seed, in my opinion. If he's not, then they're 7, 8 seed or outside of the playoffs, even with Mike and Mark. The Western Conference is that good. And it's something to keep an eye on as the offseason unfolds. I am very interested to see how they complete this roster, not necessarily because the 15th guy on the roster is that important, but just because it continues to show how they plan on building this team moving forward. Now that they've moved on from Zach, more than likely moved on from Tony, moved on from Vince Carter, the youth movement is fully here. Mark and Mike are going to be the oldest players on the roster unless another move is made for an older player. How they take this team in this new direction is going to be fascinating to watch unfold, because lots of Grizzlies fans have only known the grit and grind era. They've only known Zach Randolph and Tony Allen on this roster. There's a lot of change coming, and how they respond to that, how they build in this new age of Memphis Grizzlies basketball It's going to be fascinating to watch play out, and I'm sure we will have you on again in the future, continue to talk about that. Jeffrey Wright, you're a terrific guest, a good dude. Thanks so much for your time. Look forward to the next time.
Joe, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Absolutely. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, that was Jeffrey Wright of 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis. He's the executive producer of the Jeff Calkins Show. Friend of the show, Jeffrey Wright. Make sure you're giving him a follow at jwright929 ESPN. We're finishing up here on Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I am your host, Joe Mullinax. Before we go, I want to do a couple of things. First, a shout out to GrizzEssentials.net, our awesome sponsor. Very happy to have them on board with us sponsoring the podcast. Make sure you're going there for all your off-season Grizzlies gear needs. Great subscription service. Send the Grizzlies gear right to your door. Again, GrizzEssentials.net. Check them out. Also, I want to remind you, listeners, if you are artistic, if you are a Photoshop expert, if you want to get free tickets to opening night of the Memphis Grizzlies at home in FedEx Forum, this is your chance to do it. We are designing a brand new GBB podcast network logo, because it's not just GBB Live anymore. We got You Like Hoops. We're hoping to expand our podcast network even more as next season begins. We need a new logo. So what is on you to do is to design that logo for us. Email it to me at mullinaxjoe@gmail.com, or you can tweet it at us at GBB Live, at You Like Hoops, or at Joe Mullinax. You can tweet your submission. You can email it, like I said, all the way through July 28th. So you have, as of this recording, 9 days. Okay, you have 9 days to get those in by the end of the day on July 28th. We will take all the submissions. We will check them out as a GBB staff. We will choose a winner, and the winner of the GBB Live, or excuse me, the GBB Podcast Network logo contest will receive 2 tickets to opening night of the Memphis Grizzlies. Whenever the schedule is released, whenever that first home game is, you will be in attendance if you win this contest. So once again, GBB Podcast Network logo contest. Submit your possibilities today. I'd like to thank our guest, Jeffrey Wright. I would like to thank my co-host, Brandon Connor. Looking forward to having him back, hopefully, in the future and as the show continues. Thankful to you. Thank you so much for listening as the offseason officially begins with the end of Summer League. We'll continue recording the podcast at least for one more week before we go on our summer hiatus. Hopefully, Jermichael Green gets settled in the next week, Tony Allen, that sort of thing, and we can kind of go on to our summer hibernation in preparation for next season. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Wherever you are, however you're listening, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, GrizzlyBearBlues.com, I appreciate it. Appreciate your support of Grizzly Bear Blues and all of our platforms. It means the world. Thanks again. Grind forth, Grizz Nation. Everything's going to be okay. I'm optimistic about this Grizzlies team. I try to stay optimistic, but a lot hinges on the health of a lot of different dudes. A lot of pieces have to hit. You just kind of got to believe sometimes. That's why it's called Believe Memphis after all. Thanks again. I'm your host, Joe Mullinax. Grind forth. This is Grizzly Bear Blues Live.